The massacre in Hula and the photographs which conveyed it to the outside world have re-energised international opposition against President Assad. Is it possible that those deaths on Friday could prove, to use a phrase that we've heard several times tonight, could prove a tipping point? The Independent on Sunday published a photograph of dead children in Hula in its most recent edition. Today, The Independent's correspondent Robert Fisk writes this under a headline, "The West is horrified by children slaughtered now, soon we'll forget." Yes, he says, Hula may be the turning point, and yes, now the UN are witnesses. But the Ba'ath Party has roots that go deeper than blood, ask any Lebanese, and we in the West will soon forget Hula when another YouTube image of death flicks onto our screens from the Syrian countryside, or from Yemen, or from the next revolution. Well, with those words ringing in our ears, let's discuss whether this could be a tipping point. Misha Glenny covered the wars in former Yugoslavia for the BBC. Lindsay Hilsum is the international editor for Channel 4 News. Lindsay Hilsum, first of all, there are critical moments, aren't there, tipping points in history. What spring to mind for you?
Well, Libya last year, the tipping point was in the middle of March when it was realised that the rebels were not going to win the war. They were being pushed back down the road to Benghazi in the east, which is where I was, and suddenly the West realised soon it was going to be over. Gaddafi was going to sweep back to power. He said that he would go Zenga Zenga, alleyway by alleyway, killing people. And they believed that he would. And that was the moment when they finally pushed through the UN Security Council resolution and intervened. But we're in a very different situation in Syria, partly because of that, because the Russians didn't want that to be about regime change. And they feel that they were fooled by that UN Security Council resolution. They lost one of their allies. They're not going to make the same mistake again.
Misha, what makes a tipping point? Because it's not just something brutal happening, and it's not just a camera or a microphone being pointed in that direction.
No, you have to. It becomes a tipping point in retrospect, because although a lot of people have been referring to Hula as such, you have to make sure, you have to see whether the diplomatic and political constellation is so aligned that there is, you know, sufficient diplomatic activity to get through a resolution or whatever it is you need in order to intervene or in order to arm the rebels or whatever it is you want to do. And I'm not entirely sure with Syria, as Lindsay alluded to just now, whether that constellation is there. If we look at Srebrenica, which is widely regarded to be the tipping point in the former Yugoslavia in Bosnia-Herzegovina, everyone was kind of ready for the intervention, as it were. Russia at the time was not opposing Western intervention, which is very important and is sometimes forgotten. And even Slobodan Milosevic, the Serbian dictator in Belgrade, was tired of his proxies in Bosnia-Herzegovina, Karadzic and Mladic, and was prepared to contemplate this. So everything was ready to go. In Syria, it looks to me as though there is not that level of consensus at all for an intervention. So I'm not sure if this will be the tipping point.
Lindsay Hilsum, can you think of moments which have been identified at the time as a tipping point which proved to be anything but?
No, I think Misha's right that the tipping points are identified afterwards. And what I can see is I can look back and see all sorts of things which should have been tipping points and weren't. And obviously I'm thinking about massacres, the genocide in Rwanda, massacres in Darfur, in Sudan. One, I suppose, which you could raise would be Racak in Kosovo, which was a particularly horrible massacre. And then that did provoke intervention. Again, the Russians were not opposed to it. But it is to do with whether there is the political will to do this and whether people know what to do. And one of the problems which you've got in Syria is you can look at this as a tipping point. It's certainly about the most horrific thing any of us have seen in a very long time. But what kind of intervention? The West is afraid of intervening as well because they are afraid that there are jihadis, Islamists on the opposition side, and they are worried that intervention just wouldn't work. It would create even more of a mess.
And this is the Middle East. This is not the former Yugoslavia, which actually, although to the outside looks very complicated, but it is not nearly as complicated in its implications and its geopolitical importance as the Middle East is. So if things went wrong with an intervention in Syria, You immediately have the concern about what might happen in Lebanon, for example, and that's before you start integrating the possibility of an Iranian-Iraqi-Saudi response to the whole thing. Much, I think, will depend, and I don't know if Lindsay agrees with me in this, on what Turkey decides to do, which is the most gung-ho of the regional powers in terms of doing something about Assad.
Briefly, please, Lindsay.
Prime Minister Erdogan spoke out very strongly against the massacre today. He clearly thinks it should be a tipping point, something should change. But what is going to change and how anyone's going to make it change, that at the moment is not at all clear.
Thank you both, Misha Glenny and Lindsay Hilsum, the international editor for Channel 4 News.